relationships slip. They're challenging. They're difficult. They're hurtful. They are hard work. And I'm not just talking about marriage. I'm talking about relationships of all kinds. They are slippery. And as slippery as they are, as challenging as they are, as difficult as they can be, we absolutely need them. No man is an island unto himself. We need one another. We need one another. We need the emotional and the intimate connection. I need what I get from my relationships. I am a people person. Yes, I absolutely love my time of solitude. And yes, I have no problem eating by myself. I have no problem sitting at a table for four, just me and just being with my thoughts. But I love to be with people also. I get energy from that. I get renewal from that and strength from that. And that may not be your testimony. I understand that. But you still need relationships in your life. That's what the Bible teaches us. Genesis 2 and 18. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him." And absolutely, the Lord is talking about companionship, and he created a companion for Adam. Her name is Eve. But this is bigger than just companionship. Relationships are more than just who I'm married to or who I'm in love with or who is in my life romantically. It's bigger than that. There is I'm literally called to live among family. God intended for us to live among family and in community with others. But of course, community has many layers. There's many layers to community. You have work friends. You have the church family and relationships, people that you walk with and live with and do life with. And then you have people with whom you are connected to through hobbies or maybe a sport or gaming activities or some of those things. And then we all have those lifelong friends, those people we went to high school with, those people that we've known since we were kids. And we may not talk every week, we may not see each other monthly, but when we run into one another, we catch up and we start telling the old stories and laughing about the good times. There's many, many layers to community. And you may be saying, no, Pastor, you finally picked the message that does not apply to me because I do not need anyone. I want to challenge that today. I want to challenge that. I want to encourage you through that. I want you to heal from whatever caused that. I want that to be repaired in your life. I want to challenge you and encourage you to get into a small group and just find out how wonderful life can be. Because here's the conundrum. Here's the challenge. It's not good to be alone, but it's hard to be with people. Because people be peopling. It's not good to be alone, but it's hard to be with people. Mom used to say that there's safety in numbers. So we start looking for our group. We start looking for our people. We start looking for our friend set. We start grabbing our two or three or our 10, and we're going to do life with them because there's safety in numbers. I've got a girl living in another city in college, and we're always, who you with, what you doing, where y'all going, you're not just walking down that street by yourself, are you? You're safety in numbers. You got to find your people. You got to get in your group, and then that becomes you and I finding comfort in a community of people who think like you think. I feel like teaching today. Amen. We find comfort in finding people who think like we think. Let me flesh that out with you a little bit. I'm a Republican, so I gotta find others who think like I think. Or I'm a Democrat, I've gotta find others who think like I think. I'm a Christian, I gotta find others who think like I think. And the most dangerous people are those who do not know who they are, and they wait for others to tell them what to think. Y'all thought I was just gonna play today? Come on. This is relation slips. We slipping. That's the most dangerous people. They don't know who they are. They don't know what they think. So they go shopping for thought. They go shopping for belief. They go shopping for, you know, who am I? Identity. Somebody tell me who I am. Be careful asking people who you are in today's society, because they'll switch you up quick. They'll tell you you're not who you were born as. They'll switch you up really, really fast. And you got to know who you are, and you have to know what you believe. And you don't want to just go out there just wide open to anybody's idea, because there is this phenomenon called groupthink. Anybody ever heard of groupthink? It's interesting. Groupthink happens when a group of individuals reach a consensus without critical reasoning. They reach a consensus without critical reasoning. Here's what that looks like. I don't know if it's true. I just believe it because they do. It's not really my thing. I mean, it kind of goes against my values, but since everyone is doing it, I guess I'll play along. That's group think. I mean, everyone can't be wrong, right? Surely if my group is into this, then all of these people can't be wrong at the same time. And so we subscribe to groupthink, and we kind of pervert that idea that there's safety in numbers, and we start thinking, well, there's safety in my group who's involved themselves in this, or who are thinking this way. And then you have the really dangerous idea that is taking our society by storm, that if you don't think like I think, then I cancel you. If you don't believe like I believe, then we're done with you. Group think. I'll give you another example. People in the world are talking way more about Taylor Swift than they are football. That's group think. And this is sort of my soapbox, and I have to be careful because I don't weave the personal into the word that I'm teaching on Sunday. But it's amazing how social media has grown groupthink into massive proportions. You'll see a post like, I'll know who my friends are if you copy and paste whatever this message is into your status. Don't send it to me. I'm not going to copy and paste. I refuse to follow everybody. Generally, I wonder if people have even read what they're copying and pasting. Oh, my friend said I need to do this. It's the modern what did they call it? Chain mail back in the day. used to get them letters in the mail, and then, you know, there was something you had to do or something you had to sign or something you had to write, and then you had to go buy a whole bunch of stamps and mail that letter to a bunch of other people. Social media has just made that a lot faster. Now we just copy and paste into our own status, and all of a sudden you just scroll in your timeline, and it's just one copy paste after another, and somebody just, you know, trying to get some idea across. I understand nobody wants the ads in their feed and all of that, and y'all keep posting it over and over that, you know, today starts the new whatever the message is, that if you copy and paste this, it's gonna shut down the ads, and you ain't got one ad less in your feed than you had before, because it's not true. It's groupthink. It's everybody, and there's someone sitting in a dark room somewhere just giggling that they were able to get millions upon millions upon millions of people to all think the same thing at the same time and get them to follow the instruction. And it's harmless. It's harmless when you're talking about ads on social media, but it's detrimental when you start thinking about some other things. I saw a guy the other day post, "My official statement for immediate release." That was how he started his Facebook post. Official statement. I'm like, dude, you're not the New York Times. This is Facebook, man. It's not that serious. But look at this from a biblical perspective. Genesis 11 details the story of the Tower of Babel. It's fascinating. I'm not going to teach the story or teach through those particular verses today necessarily, but just to give you a snapshot, the Babylonians wanted to make a name for themselves by building a city. And within this city was going to be a tower that would just keep going all the way up into the heavens. And many people have asked why. Why were they doing this? It's not immediately clear necessarily, but I think pride is involved. I think they wanted to make themselves like God. I mean, if he can live in heaven, then so can we. It's really the same sin that grabbed the attention of Eve and of Adam in the garden. In fact, Genesis even says, one of the versions, that they wanted to make themselves famous. If we build this, we'll be known all over the world. And so they're building this tower. They were being successful in their efforts. Genesis 11 verses 5 and 6. But the Lord came down to look at the city and the tower the people were building. "Look," he said, "the people are united and they all speak the same language. After this, nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them." The people are united. We use this text to teach about unity and to promote unity and what can happen when people get on the same page and what happens when people begin to speak the same language, and all of that is true. Speaking the same thing is great unless you're speaking the wrong thing. Thinking the same thing is of value unless you're thinking the wrong thing. Unity is powerful, but unity aimed at the wrong thing is detrimental. It's just true. Groupthink is when we're thinking God thoughts, God ideas, all of that is wonderful. But when groupthink turns sour, when groupthink turns negative, it becomes group stink. You gotta be careful. Because God wants us to be individuals. God wants us to be unique. He wants us to be special. He wants us to be who he has created us to be. I mean, just try to wrap your mind around the fact that there are more than 7 billion people on the planet, and no fingerprint is repeated. 7 billion plus people, and every single one of us are unique. Every single one of us are special. Every single one of us are purposed and destined, and every single one of us are created by the Lord, unique and special. He wants there to be diversity among us. He created us different from the other. And so I would be wrong, you would be wrong to try and force sameness, to try to force people to think the way that you think or to do the things that you do. Let me apply this to our house. Out there on either side of the cafe is the mission statement that drives this house and drives our vision. On this side of the wall, it says, "We are the church, dynamic, spirit-filled." Has anybody read the wall? And, oh my Lord, I have failed as a pastor. We are the church, yes sir, diverse, dynamic, spirit-filled, and diverse. It's a part of our mission. It's a part of our vision. Look around. You see people of different races, different colors. It's intentional. That's what we want it to be, because we know this is what heaven is going to look like. Heaven's not going to be all white, all black, all brown. Heaven is going to be every color, red, yellow, black, and white, all precious in his sight. Diversity is good. Actually, it's God. Someone asked me the other day, how are there so many men in this church? I've thought about that question all week. How is it that God is doing the thing that he is doing? And yes, I want to be in community with like-minded people, with others who think like me, and we have shared values, but I also want people who challenge me. I'm not comfortable with yes people around me, people that just agree with everything I say. I'm good with people disagreeing. I'm okay with people pushing back. I'm okay with someone saying, "Hey, have you thought about this over here?" You know why? Because I'm learning something. They're seeing something that I have not seen. They may have experienced something that I have never experienced. And so their experience becomes a value to me. And iron sharpens iron. It's a powerful thing. I know I'm going somewhere, and I hope you're on the journey with me. But do you remember in John 6 when Jesus fed the 5,000? I believe there were many more there than 5,000. The Bible says 5,000 men. Didn't even reference the women or the children. I believe there were multiple thousands of people there in that desert place, and Jesus fed them, and there were baskets of loaves and fish that were left over. And then if you keep reading further into John chapter 6, the Bible says that those same people returned the next day and they wanted more food. Jesus said, wait, just a minute. That was about a principle, guys. I fed you yesterday because I wanted you to see that out of 5 loaves and 2 fish, I could break it and multiply it, and it would become enough to feed every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, and everyone left full and satisfied. I wanted you to realize that I, Jesus, am the bread of life. It wasn't so much about feeding you. wasn't so much about giving you something that you probably had a supply of at home. It was about teaching you that I can sustain you, that I can bless you, that I can fill you, that I can make the difference in your life. But no, they wasn't here for the principle. They were there for the fish. Jesus went back and forth with them for a little while in an effort to teach them and an effort to win them. And then John 6 and 66 happens. I don't know if it's on purpose, but John 6, 66, it's interesting to me. From this time, many of his disciples, not casual followers, From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Did I read that right? They turned and left. I mean, are you serious? I've been parked right here all week. I hadn't been able to get over this. It's astounding to me. Because there's no way you can convince me that 5,000 plus people all had that same opinion. This is groupthink gone wrong. Where are you going? I'm leaving because they're leaving. What's wrong with you? Nothing. But since my friend is mad, then I'm mad. I got one of my buddies. He's one of my closest friends, and this is probably not going to come out exactly right. It's not in my notes, but he said, "I'm so loyal to you that I'll stay offended at whoever you're offended at long after you've forgiven them." I kind of like that. That's how I know who my people are. We ride or die. It's groupthink. Because there's no way that all of these thousands of people, that all of them are mad, that all of them are offended, that all of them feel slighted, that all of them feel like they are missing something. No, it's this rumbling that starts going out. What are we mad about? What's going on? What am I supposed to think about this? How am I supposed to respond? You mean, yeah, well, I'm offended. I'm angry. What? We're leaving. We're out of here. Not just casual followers. Not just every once in a while attenders. It was disciples who no longer followed him. Because groupthink says, if they're going, I'm going. Because I don't follow him, I follow them. Who would you rather follow? What would you rather do? I don't know about you. I love my friends and I love my family, but Jesus told them one time, let the dead bury their dead. If it comes down between me, Jesus speaking of himself, and them, you better choose me. But you know what I've learned in life, my 51 years, I know that's hard to believe, but it's true. Too often we are more loyal to dysfunction than we are to function. Almost like we are allergic to healthy thinking. We just gravitate and digress to the most base part of ourselves. Because everybody's got it in them. Everybody has that, you know, we got that potential for negativity. We got that potential for darkness. We got that potential for things that are not that are not right, things that are not holy. We all have that. As long as we're living in flesh, as long as we're living in this earth vehicle, we are going to be tempted, and we are going to have things that we struggle with and things that we wrestle with. But that's why we have boundaries, and that's why we discipline. discipline ourselves, and that's why we say, you know what, I'm not watching that on Netflix, because that's not going to take my mind to a good place. I know my friend said it was good. I know somebody on Facebook dropped it in a list of what to watch, you know, what to binge this weekend, and I know they watched, so it must be good. No, I'm not allowing my mind to be fed a diet of dysfunction. I'm not allowing my mind to be fed a diet of perversion or things that are just ungodly. I'm not going to be loyal to dysfunction. I'm going to reach for healthy thinking. And I love what Proverbs 11:14 says, where there is no counsel, the people fail. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. That's what Mama was trying to tell us. There's safety in numbers. In a multitude of counselors, there is safety. But I got to give you the truth, because this has been abused. What should be a powerful resource is turned into a scam. Because what people do is they keep asking others for advice until they find someone who agrees with them. They keep asking the question until they find that one person. Again, you see this on social media all the time. I went to McDonald's the other day, and that girl said to me, and there's going to be comment after comment, are you serious? I'll never go to that McDonald's again. You don't know the girl. You wasn't there. You didn't hear both sides of this story. Am I telling the truth today? Just need some group think amen. Yeah, Pastor. What are we doing? Why have we lost who we are? Why have we lost the ability to stand on our own two feet and say, wait a minute, I'm not going with the crowd. I'm not a sheeple. I'm not just somebody that just follows the masses. I think for myself, and I want God to order my steps. I don't want anybody else ordering my steps. I want the Lord ordering my steps and guiding me and establishing my life. If my friend gets mad at everybody and tells me I got to be mad at everyone as well, I'm not doing that. That would take way more effort and energy than telling my friend, you know what, you are wrong. Ain't nobody posting about this today. I know. I'm out here all by myself on this limb. You know what? Your friends don't need a know-it-all, but they don't need a yes to it all either. Relation slips. Got to get this right. Got to get this right. Paul said we are called to be ambassadors for Christ. You know what an ambassador is? An ambassador is an official representative. We are officially representing Jesus Christ in the earth. And I'll take that one step further. If you're a leader in this house, if you're a member of this house, you're representing this church as well. I got a church shirt on today. I will watch my P's and Q's at lunch today. I won't let myself get aggravated or frustrated. They may take forever bringing the food, but I'm just going to smile because I'm representing. Whether I've got a shirt on or not, whether I'm branded or not, I'm representing the Lord. I'm representing his house. And I wanna mind my P's and Q's and not just be snapping and clapping and neck popping and just cussing everybody and just fussing. I mean, is anybody hearing me teach today? I don't wanna miss this and just get into this groupthink idea that just says the whole world is mad, so I'm gonna be mad, and the whole world is offended, and so I'm going to be offended. We've got to get this right. We got to get this right. And I'm closing. But as I close today, I'm going to tell you three things about relationships that I need you to know. Relationships are spiritual. Relationships are spiritual. Whether it's your spouse or your family or work or school, all of them, your friends, and anything that is spiritual, hear me, anything that is spiritual is a target for the devil. That's why there is so much challenge in your relationship. That's why it's so easy for that to slip and get out of sorts and be in a place that brings all kind of stress to your life. Relationships are spiritual. And that's where the people that are just good to be alone say, see, just makes more sense for me to do this thing by myself. But let me tell you the next thing. Relationships have lasting impact. Not only are they spiritual, but they have a lasting impact. Their reproductive value makes them important. Relationships, they're important. We don't reproduce children with our friends, but we do reproduce ideas and beliefs. And dare I say, doctrine. And then we evangelize. You know, I was talking to so-and-so, and we just feel strongly that slip, slip, slip. Show me your friends, they said, and I'll show you your future. The attitudes you're hanging with, the people you're running with. I want every student to hear me, every young person in the room to hear me. I know you're a sponge right now, learning it all, and if you're coming of age and, you know, somebody's about to hand you a set of keys and you're gonna be able to drive somewhere and you're entering into that territory that mom and dad cannot lord over you and watch you every second and be the little angel on your shoulder saying, don't do that, don't do it. No, you're gonna be making decision for yourself, and I implore you to hear me. Hear me. Your relationships are spiritual. And your relationships have lasting impact. That impact is lasting in both positive and negative ways. And so you have to choose carefully. There you go, Pastor. Y'all, my parent, now my everybody's telling me I need to be careful who I hang out with. You do. And you need to be careful who you date. And you need to be careful who you marry. I've told y'all about PK and I's friend years ago. That dude wasn't faithful when they were dating. We loved him, but he had problems. And we were older and mentors and friends, and hey, I know you're engaged, but have you really thought about this? I mean, it's no secret. We know you know. I mean, have you really thought this through? And I'll never forget what she said. She said, if it don't work, I'll just divorce him and start over. Well, why don't you go on and make that decision on this side of that? A lasting impact. Here's the last one. Relationship choices are critical. For much of the reasons that I just outlined. But let me ask you this question. Where are you going? Where are you going? What have you established is going to be the rhythm of your life, the tempo of your life in 2024? This is what I want to do. If you go all the way to December 31st, 2024, 10 plus months from now, and say, this is what I want my testimony to be on the final day of this year. This is what I want to have accomplished. This is what I want to feel. This is where I want to be in my life. If you establish where you want to be on the last day and then start working backwards. All right. Who in my life is going to help me get there? What relationships are going to be beneficial to me? Where do I need to invest the most of my time? If I already know that this relationship is not going to help me accomplish that goal, then it's time to say, you know what? It's not you, it's me. But I got to make some changes in my life. But I've known them so many years. Okay, you'll still know them. You're just not letting them tell you how to think. It's too much, huh? Proverbs 27:19, a mirror reflects a man's face, but what he is really like is shown by the kind of friends he chooses. That's what the Bible says. That's not PD's opinion. That's what the Bible says. I said all that to say for the last 36 minutes, you need a small group. You need to be in relationship with right people. People that have your best interest at heart. People that are reaching. People that have goals and ideas and plans and a vision. Because that's the right kind of group think. It's positive. It's biblically sound. It's forward progressing.